Our value and God's value are a little different, honestly. And I'm thankful that God values the one soul, just one more soul. And that's awesome. Appreciate the music tonight. So tonight, Brother Wiggins, our associate pastor, begins a series of messages on the book of Hosea. He's standing behind me. So anyway, but so this will go, we do about 8 or 9 weeks, I forget. Whatever it was, it's definitely 9 weeks because apparently that's what he's preparing for. And so look forward to this minor prophet, the book of Hosea.
All right, take your Bibles, turn to Hosea, the beginning of the minor prophets. The beginning of the minor prophets, and we'll be studying the book of Hosea. I really can't remember how many weeks he gave me. I think it was actually 8, but I'll see if I could get one more out of that. 14 chapters, and so I think that's ample time, and I appreciate a pastor that allows his associate pastor to preach. And I'll just be honest with you, I probably wouldn't still be here if that wasn't the case, because I was called to preach, and I'm so thankful that I have a pastor that allows me to preach and gets it. I always say, used to, I had them old skillet sermons. Now I have those crock pot sermons. I can let them simmer a little while. And maybe that was God's calling in my life, was to have a crock pot ministry, crock pot preaching. Anyway, the book of Hosea. We'll preach on this subject, knowing the heart of God. And I think if you ever want to see the true sense of God's heart, you read the book of Hosea, and he gives us a picture through the life of Hosea and through his family, how God felt toward his children, the Israelites. And aren't you glad that God loves his children? And I'm glad that God loves the Jewish people. And by the way, we ought to love the Jewish people because God loves them. And he's going to deal with them again, and we'll talk about this later in the tribulation time. He's kind of put them on the shelf, and predominantly now we see the ministries to the Gentile nation, times of the Gentiles. But in the book of Hosea, let's begin in verse 1, if you will. And if I mispronounce words, just say, bless his heart. Okay? Not out loud, but to yourself, okay? And when you get home, you say it out loud. But verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Hosea, the brokenhearted prophet speaking here. The word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam. And matter of fact, this is Jeroboam the second. We'll look at that here in a little while, why that's true. The son of Joash, king of Israel. So it gives you a list of kings there. And we'll look at these here in just a little while, who these kings are. But I want to kind of just start off by saying that the Hosea's prophecy kind of spanned 128 years. Now, not necessarily that he was alive those years, but his prophecy spanned 128 years at least. And it may be more than that, but he gives us these kings that we see that time span is right. And then we know that he prophesied no less than 70 years. And so he's very important. He is prophesying, or he is a prophet to the northern kingdom. Remember, the kingdoms have split at this time. Through Solomon, they have split. After that time, and we have the northern kingdom, which is Israel. We have the southern kingdom, which is Judah. And we're going to be predominantly talking about the northern kingdom, the kingdom, or the kingdom of Israel. So Hosea, the prophet, is a northern kingdom preacher. And I like this. Brother Sexton, Clarence Sexton, wrote this, and I thought it was pretty good. It said, what the weeping prophet Jeremiah was to Judah, the southern kingdom, Hosea was to the northern kingdom, neither almost a century and a half later. So Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah, the southern kingdom, and now Hosea comes in and he's a prophet to the northern kingdom. You say, why was he a prophet to the northern kingdom? Because in 722 BC, they were going to be carried into captivity by the Assyrians. And God never sends captivity before he sends a preacher. Read the Bible, God never sends wrath before he sends a preacher. You say, why is God waiting so long to rapture us up out of here? Because there's still a message that needs to be heard. There's still people that need to be reached. And when God's done, God will be done, and he'll take us out of here on his time and not on our time. But God never in his word ever surprised the people. Even when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he asked, hey, is there any righteous? And he went and he sent a prophet and he sent a man of God in there. And we see that Elijah went into some places and Elisha and all these prophets going into these places and preaching to them before they went into captivity or before judgment came upon them. And so tonight we'll look at knowing the heart of God through the book of Hosea. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. God, I do thank you for the opportunity I have tonight. Lord, I pray I'd not waste anyone's time, not yours, not mine, not these folks tonight. But God, I'd preach your word and that you would enlighten me through your Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray you to just open this book to us and help us to understand it. And God, I just pray that you would, Lord, get all glory and all honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hosea, and then we're going to see his wife Gomer. Great girl's name, by the way. How would you like to say, my name's Michael and this is my wife Gomer?
Well, Gomer.
You know, I mean, that's the only Gomer I know.
Well, Andy?
You know, that's the only one I could think of. Some of y'all that watched, you know, Andy Griffith's show growing up. Amen. That was back when TV was good, when you could watch all that. And but understanding the book of Hosea helps us understand the very heart and love of God as we study this book. And so the nation here is not far from being moved into captivity by the Assyrians. And so Hosea comes and gives them a final warning. Now, if you were a prophet, here's what you would expect. God to give you revelation and you share it with the people. But that's not going to happen in Hosea's life in the first three chapters. Here's what's going to happen. Look at verse 2. It says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea. Can you imagine Hosea? The Lord comes to him and says, Hosea, I'm going to use you as a prophet. And Hosea says, woohoo! That's in the Hebrew. But that's not what happens, is it? He gives him a very unusual request. You believe your Bible tonight? There's a lot of people that argue over this, should it be in the Scripture or not. By the way, here's what happens, is when people can't figure out what the Scripture says, they just say, well, it shouldn't have been in it. Instead of us reading it and saying, God put it in there for a reason. Well, here's what God said. And the Lord said to Hosea, that's what the Bible just said, right? And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee, and Hosea's excited, a wife of whoredoms, and the children and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the living Lord. What an exciting day for Hosea. That's like a bad day. But God was going to use this situation in Hosea's life to allow Hosea to feel the very pain and the heartbreak that God felt. What would make you a better preacher or a better prophet than to know the very heart of God, to know how God is feeling in some retrospect? What makes a great pastor is a pastor who's been through a lot. Our pastor's been through a lot. And some of you in here, you're able to witness to others because of what you've gone through. Well, God said, Hosea, I'm going to let you marry a person. And some say, well, he didn't know that she was going to be the way that she was. I'll just take the Bible what it says. And it didn't surprise God that she was going to be a harlot, because God knows all. So God wanted Hosea to feel it. Now look at verse 3. It says, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diliab, which conceived and bare him a son. Verse 4. Didn't give us a lot of their just early marriage life. It just said they had a baby. And here's the name. Notice what it says in verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now, we'll look at Jehu here in a little bit, but Jehu was basically the one who massacred all the family of Ahab. He was trying to break the lineage. And matter of fact, he went in there to destroy Ahab so that Jeroboam could come in and could set up his kingdom. And really, that kind of backfired on him. But he was basically, if you could think of a Hitler of the Old Testament, that's what he was. Jehu was that one. Now read on down. Here's what happened. And it says that in verse 4, it says, and the Lord said unto him, call the name Jezreel. But he wanted to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So this was going to be a tool that God was going to use. But verse 5 says, and it came to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto her, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. You see how this story is unfolding? He marries somebody who's not faithful. And the whole story, you'll see it in chapters 1 through 3. She's not faithful, but Hosea goes back after her, woos her back to him, helps her to recover from being out into the world, and takes her back in and loves her like she never left. That's the story of Israel and God. That's what God is going to do. God has put Israel, because they didn't want God to be God. They wanted to set up their own idols and everything else, and went a-whoring after other gods, as the Scripture says. They committed spiritual adultery on God. And listen, God could have very well said, I'm done with y'all, boom, y'all are dead. But God also could do that to me and you. Because I'm pretty sure, looking around, there's nobody in here that is perfect, including myself, far from it. Wouldn't it be something that if we got saved and a bad thought entered our mind and God goes, poof, well, guess what? Nobody would be here. Right? It didn't take me long to sin after I got saved. I can remember the very night that I got saved that people started making fun of me that I got saved and I got angry. I didn't make it through 24 hours before I'd already sinned. I was so aggravated at people that were making fun of me getting saved. But here God is showing us His compassion. But can you just see that God, through the book of Hosea, is peeling back a little bit of the curtain so we can see His heart, how He truly loves His people. I'm so glad God loves me tonight. I'm glad His love is greater than any love that me and you have. His love is unconditional. In other words, I don't do things so God will love me more. Because God's already loved me with all the love that He has. When He sent His Son to die on the cross, for God so loved the world, that means His love is complete. His love is unending. His love is unconditional. And He's trying to show that to Israel, but they keep failing. They keep failing. So He says, well, I need somebody to feel what I'm feeling so this message can go forth. He grabs Hosea. Hosea, you're going to marry a wife of the whoredom. Hosea, you're going to have three kids. We're going to give them names. It's going to tell you what I'm going to do with Israel. So read on down. We see that in verse 7, it says, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. That's the southern kingdom. And will save them, save them by the Lord their God. And will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. And verse 8 says, now when she had weaned Lo-Haruma, she conceived and bare a son. So now this is the second son that she would have. Verse 9 says, and call his name Lo-Hami. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? By the way, the book of Hosea is pretty pointed. When we get into chapter 2, it gets even a little more pointed, I think. And God says, here's what I'm going to do. And he proves it in chapter 2 in the first part of chapter 3. But I want to give you three things tonight. Number one, the people of this book. The people of this book. Who are all these people? Well, we see that we have the kings of Judah were Uzziah, which was a good king. Jotham, which was a good king. Then we have Ahaz, which was a bad king. Matter of fact, he was a horrible king. He took away all the things that the good kings had set up, and he destroyed them, and he set up worship to Baal. Almost sounds like America, about where America is today. If we take any more plaques and any more statues down, it's just amazing, isn't it, in America today? If it offends you, we'll take it down. Well, how long? Well, that's by the way, that's creeping into what we would call one day our churches will be tore down, because it's hate speech to us, to them, that what we speak of. And so, just hold on. And then we have Hezekiah, which was a good king. And then we see the one king, Jeroboam the second. 2 Kings chapter 14, if you just want to jot this down, 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 23 and 24 says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. And reigned 41 years. Now this is Jeroboam the first. He's the son of Joash. And it says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not. Jeroboam the son of Joash is the second. Jeroboam the son of Nebat is Jeroboam the first. It says he departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel. Notice this statement: who made Israel to sin. So he caused it because, by the way, if you say, well, nobody, well, if you was under the rule of a king, you would do it or die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. I mean, you know, they didn't bow down. And listen, the punishment in those days was not you go to jail and you got a $1,000 bond, you get out. It is you're killed. You're done with. And by the way, sometimes it was cruel and unusual punishment. They didn't have our Constitution. They had a speedy trial, but they did not have compassion. It was very appointed. And so we see the people of this book, and now also we see Hosea. Hosea means salvation. The same as really Joshua and Jeshua, Jesus, means salvation. Then we have Gomer, she means complete. You study that out, she's only complete when she's with her husband, Hosea. By the way, we're only complete when we're in God. Then we see Jezreel. That word means scattered, and we'll see that next week. You know what I thought was funny is that at this time is when Israel's going to be scattered. After they go into captivity, when they come out, some's going to go out this way, some this way. You get over to James chapter 1, verse 1. Here's how it starts off. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So all the way through the book of James, which is pretty late book, is they're still scattered. You say, are they still scattered today? You better believe it. The Jewish people are still scattered. Now, the greatest influence of Jewish people is happening right now. In the last a year or so, the Jewish people have started going back to their homeland. You say, what are they getting ready for? Amen. The Muslims took over Jerusalem. And guess what? Now the Jewish people are starting to go back into their hometown. And all that things, that's different. Message. But Lo Harahama means this. So Jezreel means scattered. Rohamaha means no more mercy. And then Lo Hamidi means not my people and not your God. Names help us understand a little bit, don't it? Study names in the Bible. They're very important. They didn't name kids back then when they were born. A lot of times they waited and saw what kind of kid they were. Then they named them. Or if God was doing something in those parents' life, they would name it according to what was going on. And that's what happened here with Hosea and Gomer. The children's names were named because of the prophecy of God that was given to Hosea. Number two, we see the promise of this book. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. Now, remind you what God just said. You're not my people and I'm not your God. I'm going to scatter you and things are going to happen. You're going to face judgment. But I want to show you the heart of God. Because here's what God said in verse 10. He said, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. He says, there's going to come a day when I'm going to gather you back. The same place where I said, you're not my people, the same place I'll say, you are the sons of the living God. Isn't that the mercy of God? Notice verse 11, he says, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. This is prophetically speaking. Be gathered together and appointed themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for the great shall be the day of Jezreel. Matter of fact, there's a lot about the valley of Jezreel. There's a lot of battles that were fought there, and there will be a battle fought in the valley of Jezreel. But here we see that God is prophesying to Hosea. We see the promise of God in this book. Because in Genesis 22:17, most of you know this, and also in Genesis chapter 2, we see that in, this is what it says, Genesis 22:17, it says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, that didn't happen during this time. It happens in the tribulation time. And in the millennial time when everybody's gathered back together. We see that God's going to gather them from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. One day there's going to come a uniting of the Jewish people. And the book of Romans tells us that they will be saved. Aren't you glad of that? That God's still dealing with His people. The promises of the book. You say, well, what is the promise here? God still promises that He's going to love His people and that He's going to take care of them, even though He's pushed them away for a time. You know what God said to us? You know what promise He gave to us? He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. God never stopped loving the Jewish people. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that they are the apple of God's eye. That they are the very, very essence of God, the heart of God. We see the last thing tonight, and I want to hit this and I'll be done. But the point of this book, you say, well, what's the point of this book? Why do we have this book of Hosea? Well, Hosea is going to feel the whole brunt of pain that's going to come from his wife and through his children, through the naming of his children. We see that here in the next chapter that Gomer's going to go back into the life of whoredom, that she's going to go back and she's going to be a harlot again. And we'll see that in chapter 2. But I want to tell you that God, in His mercy and in His grace, through Hosea, allows Hosea to go after her and to bring her back. You say, what's so special about that? I couldn't do it. Hello? I couldn't do it. She gone. Sorinata. Right? But see, that's us. God says, I'll find that one lost sheep who's gone astray. He'll leave the 99 and go after the one. I'm glad we have a God like that. I'm glad we have a God that is never satisfied when His people are backslidden. I'm glad we have a God that He's not satisfied when we're at this place and we should be here. We should be growing, and God's doing everything in His power to lead us and guide us, to mature us and to show us that He still cares about us. We have a God that has not left you nor forsaken you. Though He may be in the shadows of your life, though you may be in the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says, Thou art with me. Sometimes it just feels like nobody is with you. I remember I was coon hunting with my brother one night. My brother was cruel. That's a good word. Like older brothers should be, right, Pastor? We were coon hunting one night. It was about 12 o'clock at night. Granny knows that we used to hunt at night. We'd leave about 10 o'clock and release the dogs. Oh, oh, oh. I love that sound. But I did not like walking in the dark. My brother always had those fanciest lights. And he'd always give me one of them. That was back before they had LED. You had the little bulb that screwed in there, you know. And usually your light was about this long. It was called a nightstick, really, back in the day. I had like 25D batteries in that thing. And I make it shine Brother Fiesler with that thing. We're walking through the swamps of Florida at night. My brother says, you go around that way, I'll go around this way. And we'll meet them in the middle. We are the dogs. Well, we can hear them. Here we go, and we're sloshing through the marsh and all this stuff. And I ain't no telling. There was sometimes I was glad my flashlight didn't work. Well, pretty soon I could hear it, goosh, goosh, and I'd hear my brother, goosh, goosh, because we had on waders, you know, and we'd goosh, goosh, you hear goosh. Well, finally, I got turned around. My brother was always great with directions. Me, not so good. My brother said, now just follow the moon, go right toward the moon. Well, that's easy to say if you can see the moon. We're in the swamps of Florida. You can't see your hand. I'm like, I don't know where the moon is, and plus I think it's cloudy. He lied to me. Scared to death. After about an hour, I'm man enough to say it, I started a little whimper. I was scared to death, and I could hear, not too far from me, you baby. He'd been following me this whole time. You know, sometimes in life God doesn't follow us in the shadows to be mean and hateful. He follows in the shadows sometimes so we will rely on Him. All God wanted Israel to do was say, you're our God. But they would not. They would not bear the name of God in their life. The point of this book is to show us through a marriage that is horrible. A marriage to a woman who is a harlot. A marriage to a person who is not faithful. But it is the very picture that God, and the very point that God wants to make in this book, is that Israel, you've not been faithful to me. Israel, you have went after other gods. When Moses come down off of Mount Sinai, he had the Ten Commandments coming down the mountain, two tablets of stone. And as he came down the mountain, he's like, what is that music? Well, as any good associate pastor does, if the pastor's gone too long, We'll start a new religion with nakedness, right? That's what happened. It says, and he heard the music and he thought it was battle. He thought that that music was the sound of battle, thought there was war. So Moses hurries on down Mount Sinai. When he gets to the bottom of Mount Sinai, he realizes that they are worshiping a golden calf. Aaron comes to him and says, Moses, look, we just took all our rings and stuff and we put it in the fire. Poof. That's how it happened. What does Moses do? Takes those Ten Commandments, throws them down. He breaks the Ten Commandments. You know why? Because the first two commandments have to do with idolatry. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not worship any graven image. They had broken one and two before he had even gotten back down with it. Showing that we are sinful people. But you know what? You know what God did? He let Moses go back and get them again. Exodus chapter 32, he goes back up there, and somewhere in there, 33 or 32, he goes back up there and God gives them to him again. You know why? Because that's the God we serve. See, we write people off, don't we? And God keeps their name. And God keeps trying to woo them back to him. Hosea, bless his heart. Married to a harlot. She comes and apparently she's faithful to him for a little while. They have three children together. Says after she weaned one that she had another one. That weaning time was about 3 months usually. So there's possibly 3 months between those, or 3 years between those, three years between those children. That's a pretty good time that they were together. But once that was over, well, guess what happened? She went back to her old life. But guess what happened? Hosea goes after her. And we're going to see that in chapter 2. Just as God goes after us. You wonder why when you get backslidden you don't feel comfortable there? It's because there's a God in heaven that don't want you to be backslidden. You want to know why when you stay home on Sunday just because you want to stay home and you start feeling that conviction in your heart? That's because God loves you. You want to know why when you have an ought against a brother or sister in Christ, why that doesn't feel so good? It's because there's a God in heaven who loves you and wants to restore relationships. God is never pleased when churches shut their doors. God is never pleased when there's disunion in churches. God is never pleased when a child of God is backslidden. God is never pleased when a child of God has gone into sin and all these things. God is not pleased with that. God of heaven, His heart is broken and God wants to do everything in His power to get you back to where you need to be. Our pastor used to tell us many years ago, he said, you'll come back to church one of the two ways if you are backslidden. He said, number one, you'll come back with a broken heart. He said, number two, you'll crawl back begging God to forgive you. By the way, I'd rather just come back on my own and say, God, here I am. Folks, I don't have to tell you this. America's a lot like Israel. We have forsaken the Lord our God. But guess what God's fixing to do? He's fixing to come get us. I believe it's very soon. I don't know why I'll say this is a Wednesday night. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved because I promise you, just as captivity was coming to Israel, so is captivity coming for those who are lost. And by the way, you won't get out of this captivity. It's eternal captivity. Tonight, you need to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. He loves you. If you're backslidden tonight, guess what? You can come back to Him. Don't be embarrassed about that because you know what? All of us have been there. Read Psalm 51. There's a man called David. Search me, try me, know my heart. He said, God, I've failed you. Matter of fact, he did tell him, he said, I've sinned against the God of heaven. Tonight, whatever you need is, I'm going to pray and then Pastor, you come. Father, we love you tonight. God, thank you for the picture of Hosea. And Lord, thank you that we can, Lord, just unveil your heart and know greater depths of your love. And God, how you love us without, Lord, any condition. And God, even when I fail you, how you still love me. God, there's many that could testify here tonight how we've all gone astray. And Lord, we couldn't be happy in that life. because you would not allow us to, because you love us so much. Father, I pray you bless tonight's service. Lord, if there is someone here tonight that's lost, I pray you'd save them through the Holy Spirit conviction upon their heart. And God, I give you glory, I give you honor, and ask you to bless this time of invitation. I ask in Jesus' name.